Court will proceed to the sixth case, Blakes versus Barnhart. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff. The decision of the administrative law judge in this case as to whether LeManuel Wolf's impairments met the requirements of listing 112.05D of the Social Security regulations failed to build a logical bridge between the evidence and her conclusion, and on that basis requires reversal.
I have only one question for you, Mr. Schultz. I'm going to put it right out there, and okay. It's this. Can you tell me why we should reverse and remand for an award of benefits as opposed to reversing it for reconsideration by the ALJ under the proper legal standards, which simply was not done here?
It does seem that, well, in this court's decision in the Scott case, which came out recently, it was found that at the time of this ALJ's decision, that the only requirements for listing 112.05 were a valid IQ score between 60 and 70 and another severe impairment. The administrative law judge in this case does not find that the IQ scores were invalid. Her decision is confusing. But in that paragraph at page 3 of her decision, the second paragraph, she indicates her acknowledgement of claimant's attorney's statement that the claimant met the listing because of several IQ subscores of 70. She talks about what her understanding of the listing is, and then she goes on to talk about another severe impairment. But she doesn't find the IQ scores invalid, and I think it's an uncontested point here that the manual's seizure disorder constituted the additional severe impairments. Really, on this record, I think the evidence establishes that he does meet the requirements of the listing. The ALJ really, I think, confused completely her analysis of the listing in this case. She mentions the requirements of the IQ score between 60 and 70, does not find that the IQ scores, which were found in this case, to be invalid, then talks about the requirement of another severe impairment. She says that LeManuel's speech and language delays could constitute that additional severe impairment, but because the speech pathologist's report indicated that there was a good prognosis for those speech problems and that the speech problems only minimally affected his daily activities, she then concludes that, quote, this is not a description of a person who is mentally retarded, close quote. And that is just not, that conclusion does not flow rationally from the findings of the evidence. Whether or not LeManuel's speech problems might improve in the future doesn't have anything to do with whether or not he had significantly sub-average intelligence, or at least not on this record. There's no evidence that it has anything to do with it. In Social Security ruling 98-1P, they specifically talk about the fact that somebody can be have mental retardation without speech problems, that you can be mentally retarded and have speech problems, and those speech problems could be related to the mental retardation or not related to the mental retardation. So the ALJ's analysis here is wholly, woefully inadequate and really seems to show that she had a misunderstanding of mental retardation. The commissioner does concede in her brief that the you can't tell from the ALJ's decision whether she found the IQ scores valid or not. So on that basis, at least the ALJ's decision should be reversed and sent back for a new hearing on that basis alone. The commissioner also argues that throughout this entire period of time, deficits in adaptive functioning were necessary for a finding that the listing was met. And although I think the Scott case seems to indicate that that wasn't true at the time the ALJ issued her decision in this case, even if it was true, or even if it is true, the ALJ doesn't talk about adaptive deficits. She doesn't say that LeManuel didn't suffer from adaptive deficit. She doesn't address that specific question, at least not explicitly. But in her findings, she found that Lemanuel had a marked limitation in communication and in cognition, that he had limitations in personal functioning and delays in self-health care and limitations in communication. Although those don't, the categories of the domains don't specifically, aren't the same as the adaptive deficit categories listed in the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, they are close. And since the ALJ found that Lemanuel does have significant deficits and limitations, it appears that in her decision she actually found that he did suffer from adaptive deficits. And again, or at least she doesn't discuss or mention those considerations. Just a couple of other things. The administrative law judge also recognizes the attorney, the counsel that represented Lemanuel in his case apparently had represented his mother in the Social Security claim as well. And he represented to the court that Lemanuel's mother was retarded. And the ALJ relied on that finding that Lemanuel's mother was retarding, indicating that appeared retarded, indicated that that appeared to be relevant, and suggesting that Lemanuel's delays were caused by poor environmental stimulation and could be remedied by an enriched school environment. It's certainly possible that Lemanuel's functioning could have been improved by an enriched school environment, but we don't know that. Mental retardation, according to the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, 15 to 20% of all cases of mental retardation are due to environmental influences. So if Lemanuel's decreased cognitive functioning was due to the fact that he grew up in a household with a mother who was mentally retarded, that doesn't make him any less mentally retarded and doesn't give the ALJ the right to deny his claim under the listing because of that factor. Also, Lemanuel was entitled to a decision based on his functioning at the time of the hearing or the time of the ALJ's decision, not based on the speculation as to what his functioning might be sometime down the line. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Soltz?
Good morning. May it please the court. I think there are three critical points in this case. The first is that the ALJ specifically found that Lemanuel is not mentally retarded. The second is that the evidence supports that finding. In fact, the evidence, I think, overwhelmingly supports that finding. And the third is that a claimant can't meet listing 112.05 unless they're mentally retarded.
You know, the record established the scores in the 60 to 70 range. The ALJ herself states, the requirement of section 112.05 are satisfied if an individual has at least one score of 60 to 70 and another severe impairment. Not only does she not reject the scores after she's noted them, she identifies the speech-language delays as, quote, another severe impairment, and later identifies the epilepsy, the seizure disorder, as a severe impairment. So here you've got this kid with more than he needs, much more, according to her own recitation of 112.05. All he would need would be a score between 60 and 70 and one impairment.
Your Honor, he
severe ones.
But what he does not have, and what the ALJ does discuss later in that paragraph, is mental retardation. And I think that the critical factor that supports that is that the psychologist, Dr. Lorenzana, who administered those IQ tests, did not diagnose Lemanuel as mentally retarded, didn't diagnose him as being even close to being mentally retarded. She said that he was functioning in the average to low average range.
But the ALJ's discussion of the examiner, which we'll all find in Exhibit 3F, recites only the examiner's conclusions regarding Lemanuel's expressive, receptive speech and language skills, not his intellectual cognitive functioning. And that's independent from the issue of whether he satisfied the initial definition of mental retardation. And moreover, the same examiner recognized the difference and identified a number of other types of developmental delays, declared that it was extremely important to rule out any learning problems via psychometrics. None of that was done.
Judge Rovner, now you're referring to Mr. Brandria.
Yes, I am.
Who administered speech and language testing. He did not administer IQ testing, nor, you know, as we discussed in our brief, I don't believe he was qualified to do so. The only one who administered intelligence testing was Dr. Lorenzana. The ALJ discussed Dr. Lorenzana's test results, noted that there were a couple of results of 70. There were other results that were much, much higher, 97 and 98, and that Dr. Lorenzana concluded that Lemanuel was functioning in the average to low average range intellectually. And then subsequently, the multidisciplinary team at Lemanuel's school, which included his teacher and included Dr. Lorenzana and others, concluded that the only special education services that he needed were spending 5% of the time in getting speech and language counseling and assistance. The other 95% of the time, they concluded that he should spend in the regular classroom. That evidence, I think, is what I'm referring to primarily in saying that the record overwhelmingly indicates that that Lemanuel was not mentally retarded. Those types of statements, those types of actions, are not consistent with the way that a mentally retarded child would be educated.
But to my understanding, Dr. Bandria did suggest psychometric testing to rule out intellectual deficits.
He did.
Learning disabilities, and of course that was never done.
He did. Well, I think that Mr. Brandria didn't know that those tests had already been done. He said at the outset of his report that he had not gotten any background information. In fact, though, that testing had already been done. And I will also point out that Mr. Brandria, while he did...
Why do you call him Mr. when he's doctor?
I don't think he's a doctor.
I think he is.
If he's a doctor, I guess I'm... under a misapprehension, and I apologize. I think, though, to the extent that he's a doctor, he's a specialist in speech and language impairments. And I just wanted to point out that he also did say that he thought, based on what he did observe, that Lemanuel was functioning, that his cognitive and perceptual functioning appeared to be slightly below age appropriate in most areas, which is not the level of impairment that is reflective of mental retardation. I think that Dr. Brandreth's opinion is not the crucial one on this issue. Dr. Lorenzana's is the crucial one, and it strongly supports ELJ's decision. Now, let me briefly address the requirements of listing 112.05, because I think there's some dispute about that. The regulations as they currently are written are crystal clear that in addition to the specific requirements, the IQ requirement and the other significant impairment, the claimant must satisfy the diagnostic description contained at the outset of the listing. In other words, the claimant has to be mentally retarded. The regulations prior to 2000, when they were changed, did not say that in that explicit way, but as we discussed in our brief, the regulations did include other provisions, specifically 416.925C, and the old version of Appendix 1, Section 112.02A, which made very clear that you had to look at the diagnostic description. That was an integral part of the listing. I don't think that there's any indication that the change that was made in 2000 is a substantive change in the requirements of the listing. Now, this court's decision in Scott, as Mr. Schultz pointed out, does note the change in a footnote and does point out that as a result of the change, the regulations now specifically require the diagnostic description be satisfied. I don't think the court in Scott in that footnote was purporting to offer a definitive interpretation of what the old listing required. The court didn't discuss any of the case law, and there's a lot of it as discussed in the briefs about this listing. It didn't discuss any of the regulations. It discussed this whole issue in a footnote. And then at the same time, it was just saying in the text of the decision that the ALJ's decision couldn't stand because the ALJ did not make a finding about the claimant meeting the diagnostic definition. I don't think Scott resolves this issue, and I think that the listing does require and has required mental retardation. Thank you.
In considering Dr. Lorenzana's opinion, the regulation and the listing specifically requires that where several subsets of IQ scores are derived from a testing, that the lowest score be used. So the fact that a psychologist provides an opinion that overall a claimant or a child is functioning at a certain level, that really doesn't go to the question asked or required by the listing. That listing requires a determination of whether the IQ scores of 70 on the Stanford-Binet test were valid. And if they were, then Lemanuel met that portion of the listing, whether he was functioning. Because if you look at his composite score, that was 81. That's in the low average range. So certainly that supports Dr. Lorenzana's overall opinion. But it doesn't go to the question of what the listing requires in this case. As for the school evaluation, that's found at page 82 of the record. And it indicates that they didn't even consider any other impairments other than the speech and language impairment. So they weren't even looking at the question of whether Lemanuel was mentally retarded. And finally, the ALJ doesn't mention the Peabody picture vocabulary test results, and there were two tests which the regulations currently indicate are proper intelligence testing, especially for children with communication problems, and Lemanuel scored at the 1% level on those two tests. In addition, the ALJ didn't mention Dr. Brandiet's opinion that it was, as Rovner mentioned, that it was extremely important that Lemanuel be tested to determine whether he had cognitive limitations or not. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
All right. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess.